This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, good Friday to you. We have reached the end of the week. It is Wake Up Call. Glad you could be with us. So, last night was two 0-3 football teams, but it was still Thursday night football. And the Denver Broncos beat the Jets 37-28. Now, maybe many of you watched it because, heck, it is Thursday night football, but many of you may have said, I don't really care about either of these teams. They're both terrible. A third-string quarterback is starting for the Broncos, and the Jets are god-awful. I will watch baseball. Or maybe I'll spend time with my family, whatever it is. I watched a good portion of this game last night, and if you just didn't know the records or the kind of history of these teams, it was pretty competitive. I mean, the Broncos pull away. Melvin Gordon scores a late fourth-quarter touchdown to seal it. The Jets were filled with mistakes. I mean, just filled with mistakes. But Adam Gase continues to prove once again how he just can't coach an NFL football team. This was a game the Jets can't lose. Look, let's be honest. Both teams couldn't afford to lose it. If you're Denver, you can't lose to the Jets. And if you're the Jets, you can't lose to a Broncos team in which every significant player on their roster is hurt, including their starting quarterback. Brett Rippon got the start, their third-string quarterback, and he threw three interceptions, and one of them was returned for a touchdown. If you get that right off the bat, if you were told, if you're Adam Gase and you're told your defense is going to intercept the third-string quarterback, and let me repeat, the third-string quarterback, three times returning one for a pick, you do not lose that game. And yet, Adam Gase found a way to lose the game. Immediately afterwards, there was reports out of New York that he's not going to get fired just yet. We need to see how he can turn things around. Turn things around. I know they went 6-2 last year to close out the season. I get that. But my God, this is a bad team. Penalties. The defense couldn't get a sack. The defense couldn't get a sack against a third string quarterback. It's a bad team. It's a bad coach. And if I'm a Jets fan, I don't care about him trying to turn things around, because even if he does, I don't want him around my organization for years to come. May not have been the most important game on the calendar, but there was a lot to take away. We'll continue with that plus Major League Baseball as we continue on Wake Up Call. Thanks for joining us.
At the SportsMap Radio Network, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code SportsMapRadio for 20% off. You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up this hour, we'll give you what to watch and what you can avoid in the NFL schedule coming up this weekend. Last night's game would have been on the avoid list, but it ended up being, I guess, somewhat entertaining from a competitive standpoint, even though both teams are terrible. BetUS.com, check them out. If you're looking for a new sports book, they're my favorite because they've got some real longevity in the business. That's important. More than 25 years in the biz, plus integrity, again, longevity, and you need to know you're going to get paid. You're going to get that with BetUS. Call 1-800-MY-BETUS or BetUS.com, and you can set up your account. They'll walk you through the process. When you get to the How Did You Hear About Us box, type in SportsMap Radio, and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. No one in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. 25 years in the biz, the best bonuses. They should be your sports book. So join today, 1-800-MY-BETUS or BetUS.com. So as I said earlier, these two teams stink. It's possible many of you just didn't watch it. Many of you may have watched it just because it's football. But in the end, there are some things to take away from this, which is the job status of Adam Gase. As I said at the top of the hour, if I'm a Jets fan and the Jets organization comes out and says, look, we want to give him more. We have injuries to Le'Veon Bell. We have other injuries on this team. We want to give him time to turn this thing around. Even if he turned it around, what's he turning it around into? And do I want him on this football team, in this organization, running this team, if he does semi-turning around? Like, what's good enough? Again, last year they went 6-2 to close out the season. But let's say they were to do something similar like that, but be kicked out of the playoffs or barely get, you know, kind of be on the outside looking in by week 17. I still don't want this guy coaching this football team. He's still not the best option to coach this team. It was all there for the Jets to win this game. It was all there. I mean, again, the Broncos have injuries up and down the team. They've got a third-string quarterback who's starting. He throws three picks. You return one of them for a touchdown. But your defense commits stupid penalty after stupid penalty, including one time where you get Brett Rippon down on third down. And again, there's a face mask call, and that gives the Broncos new life. And I think they kicked a field goal on that drive. You are 0 for everything in the red zone. You have nothing. I mean, play calling was boring. Even if he were to, again, find his way to win some games, we're not talking about this season. I'm talking about long-term. This is just not the guy. He wasn't the guy in Miami, and he's not the guy here. And the Broncos, you got to think, again, you want to talk about a must-win for the Jets. This was a must-win for Denver, and it's not a must-win like getting into the playoffs. I mean, it's just for the fans to feel like we're not the worst of the worst. I mean, the Jets were a team that was averaging, 12 points a game coming into this contest? If you're the Broncos, you can't lose to a team like that, even if it's on the road. And if you're the Jets, you can't lose to a Bronco team with a third-string quarterback that's willing to throw three picks. Competitive game, sure. I mean, Melvin Gordon scores a late touchdown. It kind of seals it. It's getting close. I think the Jets were down by 2 late in the game. But again, it's if you're a Jets fan, it's you can't just rely on this patience and injuries as an excuse. You want the organization to see what you're seeing in the head coach. He's not the right guy. He isn't. And I don't care if he wins 6 out of his next 10 games or 7 out of his next 9 or whatever it may be. He is not the coach for this football team, for this organization, because you are slowly losing Sam Darnold. And if you take a guy number 3 overall, he's got to be your franchise quarterback, and you've got to give him an opportunity to be that franchise quarterback. He was sacked 6 times. You're not doing him any favors. You're calling boring plays, especially on that 2-point conversion where it's a simple rollout that was read beautifully by Denver. I mean, everyone kind of saw it coming. No one was open. You're calling boring plays for him. He gets sacked a lot. It's just, again, this is an offensive genius that's not doing any offensive genius things. And for Denver, again, as beat up as they are, having to go to a third-string quarterback, and really only because Jeff Driskel wasn't good enough to replace Drew Lock, and Fangio felt Rippon would be a better option. But again, your Von Miller hasn't played all year. Cortland Sutton is out. I mean, it's an injury-riddled team, and yet they knew they had to beat the Jets. They knew, hey, listen. And again, with that extra game in the wild card standings, with that extra team in the postseason, 1-3 is not, it's not the end of the world. Look, the Broncos aren't really capable of winning 10 games this year. They're not built for that. And they got the Patriots coming up. They got to still play the Chiefs twice. And they got the Bills on their schedule. And the Raiders look really tough. And they still got to play the Saints, who'll probably be pretty good by the time they play them in November. But it isn't the end of the world if you're 0-3, if there's an extra playoff team and you can really get something going. The problem is they just don't have the personnel to really get anything going. So that was your Thursday night game. Far as Major League Baseball goes last night, the San Diego Padres, in case you missed it because it was a Petco Park game out there in San Diego, they walloped. I mean, not really walloped St. Louis in terms of the score. It was 11-9. But Fernando Tatis and Will Myers both had 2 home runs.
They had to come back from the dead.
Yeah, that's true. It was back and forth all game. Manny Machado also homered for the Padres. And I saw this interesting stat that in the history of the baseball playoffs, Fernando Tatis and Will Myers became just the second teammates to have multiple home runs in the same playoff game. And the last team to do that was in 1932, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
I've heard of those guys.
Now, don't you find that amazing that of all the playoff games that we had, we haven't had a game in which 2 players had multiple home runs in the game?
But no, but it's specifically a playoff game. Right.
Has to be a playoff game.
Yeah.
But we still have a lot of playoff games between 1932 and now.
No, I know. I mean, it is an
amazing
thing.
For it to not happen with all when we also had an era of home run hitting team, like everyone was hitting home run, like Brady Anderson was hitting 50 from the leadoff spot, right? We had, of course, the big home run. Like, we didn't have a playoff game in which two guys were like, "Yeah, I'll hit two, you hit two, and then let's call it, you know, call it a playoff game." That's pretty remarkable. Like, if you told me to put $50 down on yes or no, has there been any other team besides the 1932 Yankees? I would have put that on yes, of course, but I would have lost my $50. The Dodgers win their series, beating Milwaukee 3-0. I didn't even know. I mean, Brewers hardly know you this year. Goodbye, you're done.
That was I watched that one, obviously, and
yeah, of course,
that was a masterful Clayton Kershaw pitching performance. And the only thought that went through my mind was maybe the 60-game season benefits Kershaw.
Maybe so, because he'll think it's like June.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like, I mean, he was
really good.
He was virtually unhittable. 13 strikeouts in 8 innings.
Yep.
And best part of the night came, I think it was the 8th inning. And, pitching coach went over to the phone and he looked over in the dugout and he's shaking him like, "No, you're not." You know, he walked one guy and they're all like, he might be getting tired. Then, all he did after that, when he told them, "No, you're not taking me out of this game," threw the guy out at first.
Yeah.
I mean, a great pickoff attempt. I can't remember who the Brewer was, because, like I said, the only person I know on the Brewers is Christian Yelich. And I forgot he was on the team.
Yeah, so the Dodgers advance. So they're gonna. It looks like they're gonna play the winner of the Padres Cardinals series, which is now tied at 1.
Yep.
Because the Atlanta Braves is gonna face either Miami or the Cubs. The Braves shut out the Reds. Reds didn't score a run in either game of the series. They had 6 hits in, let me do the math, 22 innings of baseball.
Yeah. 22 scoreless innings.
22 scoreless innings and 6 hits between the two games.
Glad you showed up for the playoffs.
Well done, Cincinnati. Again, you play these 60-game schedules to get to the playoffs, and you get to the playoffs, and there's no reason. Again, I was talking about this yesterday. It comes so quick that there's no reset button. There's no moment where you go, "Ha, we're in the playoffs." It's like, as soon as the season's over, it's like we're off to the postseason. In a blink of an eye, this thing's going to be over if we're not careful.
No, you talked about it yesterday, that it's kind of nice for, let's say, if you're in the NFL, you get a week.
You get a week to enjoy the attention. Like, go to any city in America where the NFL team is in the postseason, right? So the season's over, we're heading to the playoffs. If you're playing in the wild card round, especially if you're a team that doesn't make the playoffs a lot, like Tennessee, like when Tennessee made the playoffs, they've been in the playoffs a few times, but nevertheless, you get like live shots from outside the facility on the 6 o'clock news, right? I mean, you're doing a little bit more local coverage. Everybody gets a little bit more excited. They go to the store because you've got this period of time. In baseball, they're like, yeah, the next day you'll be flying out to play baseball. And again, you could be done pretty quickly. And the Reds probably didn't even have a chance to go, "Hey, man, that's awesome. We made the postseason," before they're like, "Yeah, we're done. 22 innings later, we're heading home."
Yep.
And that's it. We're finished.
What's worse, their performance or the Twins?
I don't know, man. That's a good question.
Because I guess for the Twins, it's not really their performance. It's just their history.
Yeah, their history. As far as performance, I can't imagine 22 innings of no runs and then 2 hits. Like the first game, I should not have said 6 hits, because they had 11 hits in game 1. Because they left 12 men on base or 13 men on base. That's right. But no runs at all. They were held to 2. As Ian Anderson, again, remember Jethro Tull from yesterday?
Yes.
All right, I'm just making sure you're paying attention. He was great. The rookie was fantastic for the Braves. Just kind of mowed down Cincinnati. So, again, the Braves advance. I just got to remember where everybody's going now. That's my biggest thing, right? I think Atlanta's going to Houston, and I think the Yankees and the Rays are going to Dodger Stadium. And
the only thing I know, I just look at it this way, is the National League's going to Texas, American League's going to California.
That's right. So if you go to California, you're either going to be playing at Dodger Stadium or Petco Park.
Yep.
If you're going to Texas, you're either going to be playing at Arlington or Houston.
Yep, Minute Maid.
All right. There you go. There you go. Boy, I love the baseball postseason bubble. Glad that's going around. Oakland advancing. They'll face Houston. And don't those two teams hate each other?
Yeah.
Don't they beat each other up during the regular season?
I think what everyone's
got to fight.
What everyone's most excited for is Mike Fiers has to pitch against the Astros.
That's right. That's right. That's a great point. And he's the one that kind of ratted them out.
Yeah, he's
on the trash can bashing.
He's the smoking gun, if you will.
Absolutely. So at least there's a nice little aspect of that.
That's Houston's thing right now. Is like, hey, you can't hide, bud. You got to come out. You got to face us now.
I like how Houston is like willing now to be the villains. And just like, fine, you know what? You don't like us? We don't care. We'll win without the trash cans. We'll see how that goes. I just wish there was fans to sort of boo them and sort of make them feel uncomfortable. But there won't be.
Especially if you kept it in the bubble and they're heading to, you know, I don't know if they're playing at Dodger Stadium or Petco Park.
See, that's my thing. I have no idea.
Yeah, but if they were playing at Dodger Stadium and you were allowed to have fans in the stands.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that would be such a pro A's crowd.
No kidding.
Even though Southern California hates Northern California.
All right, coming up next, every single Friday we give you the best and the worst of the schedule of the NFL. We'll start with the early games when we come back. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration projects? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by and talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, it is time to go through week four of the NFL season. Yeah, I said that right. It's week four. I know it's going fast, but you remember we were in lockdown for like a month or two, and it felt like it was 6 years. So it's a trade-off. So let's go to the Indianapolis Colts at the Chicago Bears. That game at Soldier Field. Interesting game here because Nick Foles is starting for the Bears now, and the Colts defense is really good. They've already got 16 points on their own, and they're averaging 15 a game. Phillip Rivers has got them at 2-1 on the season. This is a better game than you may have thought, given, you know, Bears have a history, but they're 3-0 on the season, and now Nick Foles is playing quarterback.
I kind of like this game.
I do too.
I mean, I'm a Phillip Rivers guy. Sorry.
Sure.
That's my quarterback.
Can't let him go.
No. Can't quit him.
Yeah, you're like following him on Facebook, seeing what he's up to these days.
Yeah, you know? And his 30 kids.
That's right. That's right. Jacksonville at Cincinnati. Both teams, I shouldn't say both teams 1-2. One is 0-2-1, and the other one is 1-2. Joe Burrow's had an interesting 3 weeks. He has 5 touchdowns, which is pretty good for a rookie. He has 1 interception, which is really good for a rookie, but he's been sacked 14 times. That's a league high. That's a surefire way of getting somebody kicked out of this league pretty quickly due to injury. Don't batter your rookie quarterback, Bengals. Figure out a way to get him upright and keep him upright. You don't want to lose him like that. 14 sacks is a lot.
But the good news is the Jaguars have traded away every defensive player they've ever drafted.
That's true. If you've got any sort of major all Pro Bowl talent to get to the quarterback, chances are you're playing for somebody else.
Yes.
So that's the beauty of the Jacksonville defense. Listen, if this game was on, it's not the one thing on the schedule I'd want to watch, but I like watching Joe Burrow progress to see, how he's doing.
You know, I put this on a scale of this game versus last night's.
I'd much rather watch this. No doubt. All right, Cleveland Browns at the Dallas Cowboys. Don't look now, but the Browns are pretty good now. They're 2-1, and I know they beat up some bad teams, but they're scoring over 30 points. That's a good sign. You're supposed to do that against the Bengals, and you're supposed to do that against Washington. They did that. This will be a true test for them, though, because the Dallas Cowboys have the number one passing offense in the league, and the Cowboys at 1-2 aren't terrible. They have weapons enough that can beat you. And let's see what Baker Mayfield can do on the road against Dallas. Because, again, they're supposed to beat Cincinnati and Washington, and they did. And they did so by putting up some numbers. Let's see how good the Browns really are. But 2-1 is 2-1 no matter how you get there.
Yeah, but for the Cowboys, I mean, let's look at the teams that they've lost to, Rams and Seahawks.
They're not bad.
Those are good teams.
Those are good teams.
And, you know, let's not forget that they did make an insurmountable comeback against a certain team down south.
That's right. And against the Rams and the Seahawks, and both their losses, they were in both of those games late. So it's not like they got blown out or outclassed. I mean, so there was a questionable call against the Rams.
This could be fun.
New Orleans taking on Detroit. Boy, New Orleans, I don't want to go must win because you don't really do it that early, but come on, New Orleans. They're 1-2.
Yeah.
And, you know, Detroit's 1-2 as well. This might be an upset.
I'm not saying it's a must win, but it definitely is a must show up for Drew Brees. Because
The
conversation around Drew Brees right now is, oh, he's old.
Yeah, that's he's the old. Thing. He's looking
can't throw
old.
Anymore.
Yeah. And the Lions might pull this off. The Lions could have easily been 2-1 had DeAndre Swift caught that ball in week one. But they did get a road win at Arizona, which is going to be a tough out. And New Orleans just doesn't look good. I know Michael Thomas is out because Lord knows I know that. but they don't look that good.
I think there was a rumor that he was practicing.
Yeah, that's it. See, that's the thing. Yeah, maybe he'll get in for a play or two. We'll see. Seattle down in Miami. Well, the Dolphins had that game against where Ryan Fitzpatrick was like, cool it on the Tua talk. I'm ready to go. The Seahawks should easily beat them. This is one of those popcorn games. If it's on, throw it on and do something else.
Well, this is, you know, red zone.
Yeah, this is red zone.
This is a game what red zone is for, just so they can pop in, check in every once in a while. And you're like, oh, okay, Seahawks are handling. All right.
Plus, if you're one of those MVP voters that are looking for a reason not to vote for Russell Wilson, maybe you hope he's kept it like 3 touchdown passes instead of 5.
Right, and we know our friend Scotty Farrell's not going to be watching. So
that's right, because the Dolphins stink. Which is one it wasn't his word, but nevertheless. Tampa Bay against the Chargers.
Raymond James Stadium.
Oh, come on now.
I like this game.
Let's do this. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are off to a 2-1 start. They actually lead the division. Hello. And the Chargers are led by Justin Herbert at quarterback again. Now Taylor is gone for a long time because of the punctured lung, right?
I think so. I don't know how long, though. That's the only problem. It's like it's week to week tied up.
Yeah, okay.
Can he come back? No.
No.
Yeah, but you know what? Just come out and say it. Hey, we're just going to go with Justin for the rest
of the season. That's right. Chargers and Buccaneers, Tom Brady.
Guy.
Yeah, if Tom Brady gets to 3-1, we're kind of chilling now, aren't we? We're just sort of going, all right, let's roll along.
That's where we thought you would be.
That's right. So you lose week one, but so what?
But rolling along. I kind of like the rookie versus the future Hall of Famer.
I do, too. This is pretty cool. I like this matchup. Here's another one. Baltimore against Washington. Are we done with Washington now? Can we put them away?
Okay, let's make a bold prediction. Lamar Jackson rushes for 200 yards.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
You ever like one of those games where you come off a loss and then you just beat the hell out of whoever you're playing with the next week?
Yeah,
That's this one. Like, there's no like AP college football poll in the NFL, but if there is, this is one you want. Like, we got to put 60 on the board remind people we're decent.
Even though, you can kind of say it's a short week for the Ravens.
Yeah, that's right.
Not really.
Yeah, so we're done with Washington, right? Like, remember how excited we were when they beat the Eagles in week one and they were like, Dwayne Haskins is like, he's like a leader of this team now. Well, they were 2 road games and they, you know, against Arizona and Cleveland. But nevertheless,
they didn't look terrible.
Really
look competitive in either one.
No, they look terrible. Arizona's got to bounce back, coming off that loss to the Lions. They will go to Carolina to take on the Panthers. I still haven't got a read on the Panthers yet. Panthers are 1-2, but I don't. Is Teddy Bridgewater working? They get the benefit of the doubt because of everything being new, right?
But isn't this kind of weird? I keep forgetting Teddy Bridgewater's the quarterback.
I know. Me too.
It's so quiet. Like, I mean, when they played the Chargers last week, I was like, who's, you know, before the game even started, I was like, I can't remember who the quarterback is. And then Bridgewater's out there. I'm like, that's right.
You got Bridgewater, you got Joe Brady, and you got Matt Rhule as the head coach. And yet, 1-2. So we shall see. We'll finish up the rest of the games coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, for your thoughts on the schedule as we continue along on the Sports Map Radio Network.
The Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
We will continue a look at the Week 4 schedule as we get into the later games on Sunday, including the Monday night matchup as well. Hey, Boomer Naturals has got you covered. They've got the breathable, comfortable three-layer masks available in sizes for adults, teens, children. They got cool patterns, colors to choose from. And guess what? They're available at CVS Pharmacy. So ask for the Boomer Naturals face mask with the nano silver technology that can block tiny drops and particles from getting to your nose and mouth. 99.9% antimicrobial, according to recent U.S. lab testing. That is a big deal. Again, stop by your local CVS Pharmacy today. As for the Boomer Naturals Nano Silver Masks and Gaiters, I love mine. They are very breathable. So much better than the early masks I got during this pandemic. More comfortable, really nice. Boomer Naturals, your source for comfortable, breathable, Nano Silver Enhanced Protective Face Masks, available now at your local CVS Pharmacy, because Boomer Naturals has you covered. All right, let's continue along with Week 4 of the National Football League. Minnesota and Houston at NRG Stadium. Both teams are 0-3. Start the season. You know, the old saying is you don't want to go 0-2, you don't want to go 0-3, and you definitely don't want to go 0-4.
Yep.
Outside of a tie, one of these teams will, and both of these teams made the playoffs last year. Here's the cool thing, though. You don't have to go back in time that far when the Houston Texans did start the season 0-3. And guess what their record was when it was all said and done? 11-5, and they went to the playoffs. So they have a history of doing this. I think either one of these teams, if they're 0-4, that's it, done. I don't care what the division looked like. I don't care what happens down the road in their division. I just think they're finished.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans being 0-3 seems alarming on paper, but they've had three tough opponents.
They really have. Really have. And this is, you know what? On paper, this is supposed to be another tough opponent.
And you can make an argument and say the same thing for the Vikings.
Sure.
I mean, Packers, Colts, Titans, that's a tough stretch as well.
Yeah. I'm not telling you that two 0-3 teams battling it out is a good matchup to watch, but this is a better matchup than last night's.
Yes.
Battle of 0-3 teams.
Yeah.
Because you feel like these teams are underperforming, whereas the Jets and the Broncos, it's like, well, no, I kind of can see this coming.
They're performing at their peak level.
Pretty much. The Giants are in Los Angeles to take on the Rams. I don't like the Giants at all. They're a bad football team. I mean, a really bad team.
But they're not the worst.
They're not the worst.
That's their saving grace right
now. I'll give Joe Judge a little bit of leeway here in his first year as a head coach.
Lost his bell cow.
That's right. But again, yeah, right. Without Parkley, that it's an offense that needs to figure out something else. But it ain't Daniel Jones.
No.
And the Rams are playing pretty good football right now. So this should be an easy victory for the Rams. You never know, but it should be an easy victory. Blowing that lead in Buffalo did stink. So they were supposed to lock that up, but they didn't. They could have been 3-0 right now, one of the better teams in the league. 2-1, yeah, you like everybody else. Probably the best 5-star game on the schedule is next, and that's the Patriots at Kansas City. The Chiefs at 3-0, of course, after Monday night's victory against Baltimore. And the Patriots have the best run offense in the NFL, led by quarterback Cam Newton. They are 2-1. Patrick Mahomes, 9 touchdowns. Without Tom Brady, it doesn't matter. This is still a very fun and awesome matchup for your afternoon affair at Arrowhead Stadium.
Just shows you the genius of Belichick.
That's right. This is the Tony Romo Jim Nance game.
Just keeps going, just picks up right where he left off.
And I don't want to say good news. I don't know what kind of news it is, but James White did return this week.
Yeah.
His father tragically died in a car accident. His mother was seriously injured in an accident down in Miami, had left the team to deal with that tragedy, and now is back with the team. And you know what is awesome about James White? And I didn't realize this until that game in Seattle when it was first reported that he had to leave the team to deal with this. How many people who played with James White, who were teammates of James White, who were played against James White, really think very highly of him. And he's got a lot of fans and friends within the league. And a lot of people on the Patriots felt it was uplifting to see him return to the team. That's so, again, good news. It's just news that makes you feel feel good about you know, his situation. He had a lot of thoughts and prayers go his way due to that tragedy. Buffalo at 3-0 with the offensive player of the month in the AFC in Josh Allen heading to Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. This is an interesting game because the Raiders are pretty good. I mean, I know they lost to the Patriots, but they're a pretty good team, and they might give Buffalo all they can handle. But again, I can't, because of no fans, there's no real home field advantage other than one team has to travel. Yeah, that's really it.
That's, I know.
You know? That's
maybe
all
it's
I got.
The bus ride there.
Yeah.
An event. I don't know.
One team has to get on a chartered flight and fly to a location.
How many of these teams who go to Vegas to play are really bummed that COVID is a thing?
Oh,
right now?
I know, right?
I mean, they probably saw this on the calendar saying, you know what, Raiders are going to be in Vegas when we play them because, you know, it's everything kind of changes every 4 years. And I'm sure Buffalo fans and players were like, Vegas, we got to get there daily. We're going to leave a day later.
Yeah, right. We're going to be hanging out.
Going to take in the sights and sounds.
That when it gets really up and running, really going, that's really going to be a home field advantage.
That's going to be a party.
Right? You know, every team that comes in, it's like,
yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you. Curfew. Yeah, what curfew?
Yes. You're going to have a lot of protocols.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The coaching staffs are going to lose their minds when this is back up and running. Philadelphia at San Francisco. Boy, the Eagles need a win.
Why can't we have flex?
Yeah, this should be flexed out, right?
Yeah, you know, I know they don't flex scheduling early in the season, but this is one that needs to be flexed out.
This is an Eagles team that's not very good against a San Francisco team that got like nobody left. That's it. This is the game you're getting Sunday night.
Nick Mullins against Carson Wentz. So can we say that? I mean, the Eagles should win this game, right?
Should, yeah, they should. Even though it's on the road again, doesn't seem to be a factor. But does Michaels return for this game, or does he go, I'm not doing this one either?
It's in San Francisco.
Let Mike Tirico do it. Yeah, he seems to like San Francisco.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll be, all right, I'm cool with this. I'll be doing that. Monday night, the Atlanta Falcons at Green Bay. Boy, the Falcons, come on, man. 0-3. Green Bay's fantastic. Fantastic.
They got to do it. They got to win.
They got to win, and you got to win against Green Bay. If you don't, man, forget it. Dan Quinn, that's it. Arthur Blank's got a lot of patience for an owner, but my God.
I really just hope that there isn't a fourth quarter lead in this game.
If there is and they blow it again, what do you do? Like, if you're Arthur Blank, you got to be like, I can't mentally handle this.
You got to cut ties.
Right?
There's no.
Got to do a mid-season done. You're like, that's enough. Like,
we can't be the laughingstock of the league anymore. If you get blown out by the Packers, I think you're okay. I think you're like, you know what, hey, Aaron Rodgers is playing with the chip on his shoulder because his team drafted a quarterback. And he's like, oh, no, little guy, you're not taking my spot yet.
There's no call
just
for me to
watch
lose
what
my
I
guy.
Can do.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I mean, if the Falcons, I think that's what all of America will be tuning in just to see if that happens. Especially if there's a lead in the fourth quarter.
Pittsburgh Steelers at the Tennessee Titans, that game
that's
got called off
great.
Yesterday.
No,
I can't wait till they play it eventually.
Someday.
So, if you didn't hear the news yesterday when we told you that the Tennessee Titans had gotten coronavirus, some members of the team got coronavirus, the NFL was saying, okay, you're not playing Sunday, but you could play Monday or Tuesday based on these protocols. Then the NFL came in yesterday and said, no, you're not playing at all. So, you're done. We're going to figure out a way to reschedule the game. I told you yesterday there was this one plan in place where the Steelers would play the Titans in week 7 because the Titans have a bye week. But in week 7, the Steelers were scheduled to play Baltimore, but because both of those teams have a bye week in week 8 the following week, they could move that game easily to play it the following week. So the Steelers would play Tennessee and Baltimore in back-to-back weeks instead of Baltimore in a bye. That makes sense. But here's the problem, as I mentioned yesterday, and I'll mention it again. The problem is that worked out really nice for both of those teams. That was a nice circumstance to have for the NFL. Later down the road, when this rears its ugly head again, that may not be the case. So the NFL does have to come up with some sort of way to get games in to the season, because it's not always going to be that way where you have some convenient way to get it in. You know, there's going to be bye weeks that are going to come and go, and there's not going to be other bye weeks to fill in a game. And you're going to get late in the season. And what if something pops up in a real big playoff push at the end of the season and you're shutting down a game? You got to figure out a way to get that in somehow.
What if it was these two teams? These two teams are going to be vying for a playoff spot down late in the season. What if it happened to them, you know, come what? Second week in December.
Sure, sure. And I think in baseball, nobody was really losing their mind if one team was played 58 and the other team played 60.
Yeah.
It seems like it's too insignificant.
Close enough.
But you can't do that in this league. Like, you cannot do that in this league. You cannot tell two teams that are vying for the fourth seed in the NFC that they don't have to play. Like, they just, well, that's okay. You can take, you know, we just won't make up that game and you'll play 15 games. It's not going
to
work.
I mean, if it's late in the season and you're trying to figure out how to get a Jets and Giants game back in.
Yeah, that's fine.
People will be like, do us a favor.
Yeah, just end it. Yeah, don't play. But yeah, but like if the Steelers are vying for a positioning in the playoffs and they get told you don't have to play, I would be furious if I was a Patriots fan or anybody else that's also vying for that same playoff position. I'd be furious. Like, no, you play it. So I don't care if you play it on Thursday. I don't care if they play back-to-back football games. They're getting that game in. Like, there's no other way. There's no other way around it. So again, it was convenient. It looks like that would be the plan. If I was the NFL, that's the plan I would go with, but I'd also be like cautious. I got to go in this, you know, we got to make sure that there's a way to get games in. We cannot just cancel games. Can't just turn them down. All right, so that is the way we look at week number four. Again, your thoughts on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Coming up, some NBA news involving a team that's out of the bubble and a team that's in the bubble. That's next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call here on a Friday. All right, some news from the NBA. Game two will be tonight. The Heat and the Lakers. Goran Dragic and Bam Adebayo are both listed as doubtful. Boy, that word doubtful really stinks, doesn't it? Because if it's questionable, you're like, well, maybe there's a chance. Doubtful really sounds doubtful. And that's not good for the Heat. That's really bad.
Yeah, sounds like
that's
no
pretty
chance.
Bad. That sounds like no chance. There's a neck strain for Adebayo, and then Dragic has a tear in his left foot. Okay, look, if you have a tear in your left foot, you ain't playing,
you're
right?
Coming back.
All right, is that? Or, I mean, I'm not a medical doctor, but if you have if there's a plantar fascia tear in your left foot, that sounds like you wouldn't play. It barely sounds like you could walk. Yeah, but I'm not a doctor, so
I'm
I don't
all
know.
Too familiar with plantar fasciitis. Not personally,
right?
But my tight end for years, Antonio Gates, was.
Yeah.
And when it was bad, he was out for several weeks.
Yeah, so he ain't playing tonight.
No.
No. And Adebayo has, as I said, a neck strain.
Yeah, I mean,
that doesn't sound good either.
You think about it, like with basketball, you're running, you got to run up and down the court. It's not like it's not like when we play in pickup games. If I'm limping a little bit, you know, or my knee hurts, that I can just slowly walk up the court.
That's right.
You're playing with finely tuned athletes who are just going to be sprinting back and forth for an hour.
Exactly. Oh, so we're playing prison rules, I guess, huh? So Jimmy Butler also turned his ankle. He said he'd be fine, but it's in a wrap. So this is a beat up Heat team going up against a very determined, well polished Laker team. I don't think you're going to have much of a contest tonight.
I think they've reached the end.
I do too. And there's no shame in that. We've seen a lot of great performances limp down the finish, and you still enjoyed the journey.
Yeah. Hey, I mean, look
at
it.
The 5 seed that made it all the way to the finals, beating both the Celtics and the Bucks.
I mean, look at it this way, Heat. They won't win on your court.
That's true.
They're not celebrating in your arena.
That's true.
And there's no shame. We're all going to sit there and be like, hey, Heat, you know what? You guys played a lot of games in the last 2 months. I mean, even in like a regular NBA season, there's a lot more breaks between games.
Yeah, exactly. So well done, Miami and Pat Riley. You did what people didn't think was going to happen. You went on and won the East. There'll be a banner. You'll get a cute banner when we all go back to normal.
The Heat are basically that Paul Rudd meme. That's going around where he's like, how do we even get here? I don't even know.
Exactly. So the beat up Miami Heat against the super polished Lakers tonight. But you never know. It's basketball. Who knows? Doc Rivers is going to coach the Philadelphia 76ers on a 5-year deal. Good luck with that, Doc. Seriously, good luck with that. You got to get, like Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and everybody all work together. I do, too. I like Doc Rivers. I really do. I liked him when he won a championship with the Celtics. I thought he did a good job with the Clippers, but not good enough. Yeah, but I like Doc Rivers.
I'm just surprised that this is his stopping point. I'm wondering why he didn't go visit other places. Like, why didn't he go to Houston?
Well,
I would have thought Houston would have been a better job.
Exactly. They said he was intrigued with the roster and the market and all that stuff, but Houston's got a pretty good team that you can polish up just a touch and actually make a run.
Yeah, maybe he likes the East Coast better.
Maybe.
You know, he had a lot more success in Boston. So maybe. Philly's not too far away.
Yeah, that's very
hot
true.
Hot in Texas in the summertime. You don't want to be down here.
Yeah, that's right. That's good, too. So maybe that's it. But Doc Rivers is going to be your new coach of the Sixers.
Maybe prefers Philly cheesesteaks over Tex-Mex.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe he does prefer Philly cheesesteaks. So good luck, though. That's a franchise, as Eton's mentioned, has got a lot of other interior problems that he's going to have to deal with and he's going to have to fix. Before, it's not just come in and take this team, make it better. There's a lot of personality conflicts you're going to have to, blend together. There's more issues there than just what's on the court. So, I don't know. Doc's done this kind of thing before. Like, there was some personality conflicts with the Celtics. And, there's probably some personality conflicts with the Clippers. So, he knows how to navigate this. And, look, there's nobody in the league that doubts his ability to coach. He's a very good coach. It's just, with the Clippers 7 years, they haven't really did anything. The 3-1 series losses were, they hurt. And Ballmer's looking at the clock going, look, I can't afford to just keep this. I got to win and win with this group.